grinding on my surfboard. Right on, whoop. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's the award-winning podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name's Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. Max, welcome back to the Pre-Dead Boys castle. Put the battlements up.
It's nice.
I brought the skulls together.
We're in the foyer.
We're recording live in the foyer. Foyer of the castle. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. I just wolfed down a burrito on the way over. I ate the burrito when I got here.
Yeah.
I ate an apple in the car.
Are you going to fart?
No.
During the recording?
No, come on, no.
Okay, good.
No. Don't accuse me of that either. If Dorian says anything about it, it's a lie.
That you fart?
Yeah. And farting on air, especially.
Well, everybody farts air.
Well, come on.
But it's a good comedy. This podcast is ruined before it even started, and it's my fault.
No, I think we're doing good. We talked about video games.
Yeah, we sat down to record and I talked about Resident Evil and Death Stranding for 25 minutes. It was 25 minutes of just recording.
Well, it takes two to have a conversation, and we had a conversation about it. So
that's true.
I contributed.
That's true. We had a conversation about things that are not quite related to death. And now it's time for us to have a conversation about death. Max, what have you got for us today?
Well, this is good because I was like, I get a little nervy sometimes about having like intro stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm glad that we just crushed it right there. So I do have something, and I imagine that you're going to be very excited about it because it is a topic that we briefly touched on in our death metal episode.
Yes.
Because what we're going to be talking about today is exhumation.
Hell yeah.
Which is, you know, that's kind of like the band Exhumed.
Yeah, have we talked about Exhumed?
I feel like you made me look at one of their album covers.
Not during that podcast, but Exhumed is a newer death metal band.
Oh.
And the only album that I really listen to by them is a concept album. I think it's about like early 1800s surgeons. I don't remember the story entirely, but there's the lore is like all written out like in the lyric sheet.
Uh-huh.
They also have lore and character names.
Like footnotes and stuff like that?
Like I think all four band members take turns singing, but they are all four assigned to different characters
that rules.
In the story.
I love that.
And all of them sing death metal growling style. So it's four different flavors of Dorian. It's so cool. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Exhumed, despite them being a great band. We're going to talk about Exhumation, right?
We are, and you got to remind me to talk to you about the band Have a Nice Life after this, because okay. That reminded me of that. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Exhumation, which should be fun. I got some fun stuff in here. But before we begin, as always, we got to crack into it with the Pre-Dead Boys Crack Into the Topic moment, brought to you by Simple Truth Organic. This was a listener suggestion, right?
Yeah, Noel in the Facebook group recommended Simple Truth Organic seltzer water. We are partaking in cucumber melon. It's refreshing.
So I thought this was a Kroger brand, but I don't.
It is, actually.
It is? Okay, but they sell it at Lucky's.
Yeah, Lucky's is owned by Kroger now.
Oh, that explains a lot.
A lot of priced dips and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm not upset
quality
about it.
Dips.
That I'm upset about.
Yeah.
I like the coffee. I don't know. Dorian, what does it mean to be exhumed?
Exhumation is the process of unearthing buried human remains for any number of reasons. While this practice is uncommon, it can be a crucial undertaking in cases of criminal investigations, as well as situations where family members wish for an alternate resting place for the deceased. Increased accessibility of forensic DNA testing has also contributed to a rise in exhumations in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's exhumation is when you unbury someone. It's very simple.
You dig them up.
You dig them up.
And you get several applications, it sounds like. You get vandalizing graves, obviously. That's a bad, naughty exhumation. But,
uh-huh.
But it can also be used like forensic testing. Yeah.
We're going to talk about some really cool applications of it coming up here. It's going to be dope. And you know what else is dope is the fact that I'm still on like my nerd shit, typing everything into online etymology dictionary. And I was like, oh, I wonder what exhume is from. And it makes me really happy. Not as happy as fear, babe, but close.
Exhume, early 15th century from medieval Latin. Exhumar, to unearth. 13th century, from Latin, humus, earth.
And I always forget about humus. Like, that's like a soil type. Like, you got, like, loam is, like, planting soil, and humus is, like, it's like a muddy soil.
Okay.
But it's spelled H-U-M-U-S. So if you're, like, you're being, like, a dummy about how words are pronounced and work.
It's hummus.
And I like the idea of ex-hummusing someone, just like lifting someone's body out of a big thing of hummus. I like that, and no one can stop me.
Ex-hummus is another great band name. Yet another great band name brought to you by the Pre-Dead Boys.
Gotta get a hummus vacuum to get those folks out of there.
Ah, Roswell Kid. Great band.
There we go. So, exhumation is not really like a joking matter, because it's a pretty serious undertaking. There's a lot of big stuff you have to get into to get it out of there. It requires a lot of permits. So get excited for when I'm going to make you read a bunch of legal talk.
Oh boy.
That's going to be very fun for you.
Yay.
And you can't really just like walk into a graveyard and start exhuming bodies, because
that's what you think. Try and stop me.
Well, that's a crime. I don't think you're strong enough.
What the fuck?
To unbury 6 feet of soil and then lift a big coffin?
If I had the right tools and if I were motivated,
I could get that.
You'd be amazed at what I could do, Max.
Get a body out of there. It's also a crime. That's how you turn into like Ed Gein. So
yeah, that's why I don't do it.
Keeping myself out of there. Yeah, so the legal process that you need to go through to actually exhume someone can be a pretty brutal undertaking, and we're mostly going to be talking about the like fun, cool applications of exhumation and not the legal stuff, but it's a lot. There's a train. That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the train track around here?
It circles the moat around the Pre-Dead Boys castle.
Is that the one on?
You know,
is that all the way from up there?
I've never thought about it.
That's insane.
Damn, dude, that might be. That's loud.
I think it's
as
just
fuck.
Like catching sound. It's like a weird refraction. I don't know. That's wild.
You got me fucked up. I'm like really thinking about
right?
it.
Right? I'm like,
what the fuck? And airplanes. The airplanes that we get all the time.
Okay. They're fun.
Yeah, really trying to cut down on the air traffic around my castle, but
the peasants. So we got that ballista.
Yeah.
So if you like uncover a body, it's a process. Like if you're like in your yard and you find like a skeleton, that's no good. You either have to get the cops involved or an archaeologist. And you better hope that it's a cop, because if it's a cop, then they just go, oh, I guess someone got murdered here. They deal with it. But if it's an archaeologist and your land is built on like burial grounds, it's going to be a while before you can move that body out of there.
So it's actually going to be more of an ordeal if I don't call the cops.
No, you want to call. Well, I mean, if you deal with it yourself, that's okay.
DIY.
DIY. DIY, man. But because of that, because it's such a headache, we're mostly going to be talking about exhuming from legitimate graveyards. You can get a little weird and listen to our Native American Burial Ground episode if you want to hear about digging under like a farm market here in Columbus and finding some skeletons.
Yeah, don't do that. What Max meant to say there was episode 38, Bodies Under Our Feet. Go check that one out.
But it's going to be a long thing. And legally exhuming a body isn't the most simple thing in the world either. And the process does vary state by state. But what I've done here, and buckle in, so here you go, is I pulled an example of exhumation laws, how they're typically written.
No remains of any deceased person shall be removed from any cemetery except upon written order of the health department having jurisdiction or of the superior court of the county in which such cemetery is situated. A duplicate copy of the order shall be maintained as a part of the records of the cemetery. Any person who removes any remains from any cemetery shall keep and maintain a true and correct record showing A. the date such remains were removed. B. The name and age of the person removed when these particulars can be conveniently obtained and the place to which the remains were removed. C. The cemetery and the plot therein in which such remains were buried. If the remains are disposed of other than by interment, a record shall be made and kept of such disposition. The person making the removal shall deliver to the cemetery authority operating the cemetery from which the remains were removed a true, full, and complete copy of such record. Bodies are not to be disturbed without substantial reason. The court considers substantial reason to include the public interest, the conventions of common decency, the wish of the decedent, and the prohibitions of religious law.
I'm a good lawyer. Audio content.
I'm a lawyer now.
You are, man. Ha. You're an estate lawyer.
Yep. Come to me with any legal questions you have. I will give you very sound legal advice.
That's a crime. That's a crime. Fail-proof. You can't do on this. It's a crime to give legal advice. You can't do that on the podcast.
Did I say legal advice? I meant, we'll run that one back. I'll edit that one out.
Talk to our lawyers. Yeah, so there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through, but it gives us a lot to break down as well. I figured we could kind of move through the rest of this episode looking at kind of the different methods or different reasons that people give for exhuming bodies. And I think it's going to give us quite a few talking points. So the first one is that you can exhume a body for public interest. Like basically, if you're going to exhume someone, it has to be high profile. Okay. You know, that's why you see people exhumed for like crimes and stuff like that.
Right.
But you can't just walk into a graveyard and be like, hey, my grandpa was wearing a really cool shirt when he was buried and I want it. Like, can I do that? Like, they won't let you do that.
So if your grandpa's buried with a cool shirt, you got to let that die too.
Just let it go.
Damn.
It's gone. It's for like identity verification in crimes, basically. That's okay. The public interest thing. And we'll talk about that. But there's also common decency, which is like a vague term, but it covers a couple situations, some of which are good and some of which are not good. Like sometimes you can exhume a person to put them in a place of honor. This happened in February 2019 in Florida. Do you know who the Tuskegee Airmen were?
No, not really.
So they were like a World War II Air Force squadron that flew planes or whatever. But they were the first all-black Air Force squadron.
Oh, cool.
So it was really cool because that was back when white dudes were like, oh, black people aren't smart enough to fly planes. And then they were like, no.
Now you look like idiots.
Yeah, now those people look like big dumbasses. But they were great and they were obviously honored with a lot of things. We've got a couple monuments to them here in Ohio, actually, which is neat.
Hmm.
But since there just wasn't a lot of money in the military back then, there was a Tuskegee Airman by the name of Eddie Cowan. And after he served in World War II, he moved to Florida and ended up dying in 2009 at the age of 88. So he didn't have a lot of money when he died, and so him and his wife were buried in like a pauper cemetery in Florida. Like, it just, they didn't have a headstone. It wasn't a big thing, you know. And as part of like an honor project, like Veterans Honor Project, some guy found out about this. And he found out that Cowan had served as a Tuskegee Airman. And he was like, these are dudes that should be honored and should be lifted up. And so he raised money and in February had Eddie Cowan exhumed and moved, reinterred in a Florida military cemetery with full military honors.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool way to like honor that guy's legacy.
Yeah, that's cool. We kind of made it right in a sense.
Yeah, you know, you're doing the decent thing by giving this person who served his country honor, you know.
That's a good use of exhumation.
Yeah. Conversely, it does go the other way too.
Sure.
Like if after someone is buried, then it comes out that maybe they were a serial killer. Or maybe they were a massive pedophile who abused a lot of people.
That's bad.
That happened in England recently.
Recently?
Recently. There was this guy who was like a TV music guy named Jimmy Savile.
Right.
Yeah.
I heard a little bit about this.
Yeah. So he was like super famous and people were like, ah, it's Jimmy Savile. He's great, you know. And then he died and then they buried him. And then these accusations started coming out. And basically he was like super Epstein. With, like, providing kids for people to sexually abuse and, like, probably doing it himself. It was bad.
Jesus, I didn't know it was to that extent.
Yeah, it's really rough stuff.
Yeah, wow.
And so, understandably, because he had, like, a public monument in the graveyard he was buried in, people were defacing it constantly. And his family was like, well, this sucks. And so they actually removed the headstone, destroyed it and had it thrown in a landfill, but then it was still causing issues. And then it started turning into like people who he was buried near in the cemetery were like, hey, our family plots are getting like vandalized because this dude is buried close to them. You got to do something about that. And so Savile was actually disinterred, exhumed, and then reburied to stop causing problems for the other people that were buried there.
Huh.
So it's like common decency the other way, you know?
Right.
And that happens with like serial killers too. Like I think like Ted Bundy is either unmarked or has had to be exhumed a couple times because people keep finding out where he's buried and then like burning it. So
I like it. It's like a passive protest. Like we don't want this guy here. Get him the fuck out.
They exhume you.
I love that they literally just threw away his headstone, too.
Yeah, they were into it. The quote was, it was removed, destroyed, and sent to a landfill.
That's amazing.
Like, to his family's credit, they were, like, fully in support of the victims and were like, yep, totally fine.
Yeah, sure. I imagine it was a surprise to them when all these allegations started coming out.
Yeah. It was bonkers. And, you know, the other reasons we talked about that you might exhume someone include, quote, the wish of the decedent, and prohibitions of religious law. And this came into play a lot after World War II, when a lot of Jewish people who had died all over the world in the diaspora had their remains exhumed and then reburied in Israel after Israel was re-granted statehood. So that's all good stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool
stuff. But like I mentioned earlier, and this is where we get into the fun stuff, sometimes people have to be exhumed because of their connections with a crime.
Ooh.
Which is very fun. And there's two big names that this has happened to. The first being Lee Harvey Oswald, who allegedly assassinated John F. Kennedy.
Oh, are we going to get into that?
We're not going to get into that.
Okay.
But that's kind of what started this whole Lee Harvey Oswald thing.
Two shooters. Look into it.
See, now I'm just thinking about Zoolander, which is a really, really good movie. And when David Duchovny is like explaining how all the assassins were like male models, and like John Wilkes Booth like blue steals at the camera, and then he goes like, but wait, Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't a male model. And David Duchovny is like, Yeah, but those two lookers who capped JFK from the grassy knoll sure were. And then it's like these two models who are standing on the hill with rifles and they like high five. It's really good.
I'm going to level with you. I've never seen Zoolander.
It's good. There's very problematic things about it. But the points where it's really funny are very funny.
I'll probably go back. That whole era of 90s slapstick, that's my jam. I'll probably go back and watch it.
It's worth it. But the other dude who's not Lee Harvey Oswald, who had to get his remains exhumed to solve a crime, was H.H. Holmes.
Ah, I do know a little bit about this.
Yeah, the Devil in the White City guy.
Yeah.
Who had that murder house in Chicago.
Murder castle, yeah.
So we're going to start with Lee Harvey Oswald. So there's a lot of conspiracy theories around Lee Harvey Oswald and Kennedy, the Kennedy assassination, all that stuff. And they've basically been going on since 1963. People accused Lee Harvey Oswald of being like a body swap. Like the Russians had gotten a guy who looked a lot like him.
Okay.
To basically steal his identity, sneak in, assassinate JFK, and then get killed. Which is, I don't really know why that makes sense.
It's an efficient solution.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's first idea I thought of.
But then I guess like Lee Harvey Oswald had some sort of virus when he was a kid. And so they had to do a surgery and he had a weird scar behind one of his ears. And in the grainy autopsy photos, you can't see the scar. And there was this fervor for like 20 years of like, it was a body double. It was either like a Russian fraud or Oswald escaped and planted a new body to go live in like China, you know? It's goofy.
Yeah.
But they like whipped up so much that in 1981, there was this massive push to finally exhume Lee Harvey Oswald's body and examine it. And this was in like courts, it was in TV, it was in everything. And it's actually a really interesting story. I learned a lot about it researching for this. Like there's like restraining orders put in place by Oswald's family who like all changed their name. Because they were we can't do this anymore.
Don't want to be associated with that. I'm sure they got prank phone calls and they got doxxed and
81 doxxed.
Yeah, they got their Facebook accounts hacked, all that stuff.
There was like that, and then there were the whole thing was being led by this author, not like the cops, not really anyone notable, just an author who had a hunch.
Okay.
Very goofy.
Yeah.
And I thought it was crazy, and I thought I was just going to do a little write-up of it. But then I found an account written by Dr. Vincent DiMaio, who did this autopsy on the exhumed body of Lee Harvey Oswald. And when we kind of talk about why it's difficult to exhume someone, I think this gives a pretty good indication as to why. Because he doesn't pull any punches in making his description nice or being pleasant in his prose.
The courtroom battle over Oswald's remains raged for a few months after I left Dallas, until October 1981. At midnight on October 3rd, the restraining order put in place by Oswald's brother Robert expired. Before the sun rose on October 4th, we stood at the killer's open grave. On that unseasonably muggy morning, we dug up Lee Harvey Oswald, or somebody, just to be sure America had buried the right man in 1963. We had planned to simply lift the entire 2,700-pound steel-reinforced vault out of the grave and open it elsewhere, but the vault had cracked, allowing water to seep in. The rotting casket inside had grown brittle and was splotched with stains and mildew. Its metal handles were badly corroded. Part of the lid over the cadaver's upper body had already caved in, and we glimpsed at the very least that Lee Harvey Oswald's grave wasn't empty. After the exhumation at Baylor University's Medical Center, the cardboard-covered casket was rolled on a gurney through a warren of basement corridors and narrow hallways to our makeshift morgue. The decaying lid of Oswald's casket, likely damaged when grave diggers removed the cracked vault, came completely loose in our hands as we opened it. The smell of moldy dirt, mildewed wood, and rotten flesh emanated from the box in an invisible cloud. The casket's interior was a mess. Some of the moldy fabric lining had fallen loose from the lid, covering the corpse underneath. We gingerly removed the fabric remnants, and there he was, lying on a rotten straw mat. We were finally face to face with what was left of the man buried in Lee Harvey Oswald's grave, or at least what appeared to be a man-shaped blob of black cream cheese in a cheap brown suit.
It's outrageous.
We carefully charted each of the dead man's 31 teeth. One had been pulled. When we compared the corpse's x-rays to Oswald's military records, we found at least 3 identical teeth and fillings, 4 more very similar. Dr. Linda Norton delivered a brief, emphatic press statement to a kettle of reporters who had gathered. Quote, "We independently and as a team have concluded beyond any doubt, and I mean beyond any doubt, that the individual buried under the name of Lee Harvey Oswald in Rose Hill Cemetery is, in fact, Lee Harvey Oswald." Black cream cheese in a cheap brown suit.
That's a real slam.
Real scummy.
That's really gross.
Woo!
You can see, based on this description, why exhuming people is not the easiest option. First off, you got to do it at like dawn.
Right.
Which is interesting. A lot of people do it early in the day before like news crews can roll up.
Okay. That makes sense. I was wondering if it had something to do with, I guess you need a lot of natural light. I don't know.
Yeah.
Before the news crews. That makes sense.
Yeah. You just want to do it early, I guess. Also, 2,700 pound steel reinforced vault.
That's insane.
That's big.
Now, do we know if he was just buried in an especially big, sturdy vault because of who he was?
Body snatchers, yeah.
Okay, that's not typical. Like, there's no way that that was a typical coffin at that time.
No, no, no. But, you know, if you're going to exhume someone, you usually have to be pretty sure, because if it's a famous person like this or an infamous person, it's not unlikely that they would have extra protection.
Sure.
Like concrete.
Right.
And that's actually the case with H.H. Holmes, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it took a lot of work to get Oswald's body out of that grave.
Hmm.
And then when you open it up, it's going to take a lot of work to figure out whose body that is.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm sure they didn't expect it to be quite as rotten with all the water that seeped in.
Oh,
that
was God, yeah.
Lovely surprise.
Black cream cheese. That's so gross.
Should have buried him with a dehumidifier. That's not even a joke.
That's just good life advice, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good death advice. Legal advice from me, a lawyer.
But that's, you know, that's another one of those things where, like, there really wouldn't have been a reason to do this before DNA testing.
Sure.
Like, these doctors are going in and being like, I hope we can get some teeth out of there that we can use to, like, prove this.
Right.
Because if these teeth are bad, like, there's no way, you know.
That's it.
It just is open.
Yeah.
And, you know, this same thing is really very similar to what happened with H.H. Holmes, who was the Chicago murder guy. Because there were similar theories about him, like, paying off a judge and dipping out on his execution and them burying, like, a fake body, you know.
Right.
So in 2017, actually, probably because of all the, like, Devil in the White City hype.
Yeah.
Did that movie ever come out?
No. Still maybe in development?
Okay.
I don't know, because Scorsese just came out with The Irishman. He was attached to direct. I don't know if he still is.
Leo was in it, right?
Yeah, Leo as H.H. Yeah. Holmes, which, that's great. That's great casting. Love
sure.
to see it.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. Please let me see this movie.
But I mean, probably because of all the hype that was surrounding that book and movie in 2017, people in Chicago were like, we should exhume him to make sure that this is him in the grave.
Right. And it didn't help that this is not a true crime podcast, so we're not going to get into it in depth. But it didn't help that there was also just that theory that he was actually Jack the Ripper, and like, all of these crazy theories. Yeah, there's a lot of speculation and just interest in learning more about H.H. Holmes. There was, I'm sure the movie and book riled that up, but there's always just been so much speculation about him that there was a demand to dig him up for a real long time.
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all that happened, and I pulled a Chicago Tribune article from September 1st, 2017. So this is wild, because we give old newspapers a lot of shit for writing bad headlines.
Yeah.
This is a 2017 headline. Exhumation confirms gravesite of notorious Chicago serial killer H.H. Holmes. Here's the article. It's just bad. It's bad headline.
It's a little bit of a mouthful, but
yeah,
at least it's not clickbait. You won't believe this famous bad boy and bad boy his nasty, stinky body.
And oh boy, is he stinky.
Anyway, I'll read it now. Tests show that the remains in a suburban Philadelphia grave are indeed those of a 19th century serial killer, quelling rumors that he'd conned his way out of execution and escaped from prison. A judge approved the exhumation of Dr. H.H. Holmes's grave earlier this year. His descendants requested it for a series called American Ripper on the History Channel. Part of the show looked at whether Holmes escaped, and scientists' findings were revealed in this week's final episode. Holmes had left specific instructions for his burial. He was to be laid in a pine box, and the box was then filled with cement, buried 10 feet in the ground, and covered again with cement. University of Pennsylvania anthropologist Samantha Cox, who did the forensic science on the exhumed remains, tells the Tribune that because of his unique burial requests, Holmes's body had not properly decomposed. She said his clothes were almost perfectly preserved, and his mustache was intact on his skull, but the corpse had decayed. Cox said, quote, "It stank. Once it gets to that point, we can't do anything with it. We can't test it, can't get any DNA out of it. We had to use his teeth to identify him."
I don't know why they, like, buried him how he wanted to be buried. That's kind of bonkers.
Yeah, that is a little bit odd to me. Although, I guess it's a pretty modest request. And
pump it full of concrete. Yeah.
It is interesting to me how, like, what kind of rights do we give serial killers and really heinous criminals? That's another debate for another podcast, another day, just about, like...
Like how Manson got married multiple times?
At least once. Not only how you treat them in life as prisoners, but also how you treat them in death. How much respect do we give them? I mean, do we just totally let anybody desecrate their grave however we want?
Yeah.
Because that would set kind of a bad precedent. But also, what kind of rights do they really get since they killed a bunch of people or did awful things? It's weird. It's a big question. Yeah. But yeah, in particular, the thing with H.H. Holmes was that he killed people, and I think he sold corpses to science, but he also, like, used their skeletons for medical presentations.
Oh, really? So, I didn't know that. I don't know a lot about him.
It's just kind of a hilarious irony that his whole thing was, like, he did not want people messing with his body after he died, so he made sure that he was buried in concrete so that nobody could exhume him and fuck with his body.
Huh.
So it's kind of a
fun... But then we did.
Yeah. It's a fun ending to his story that we're like, yeah, but the fanfare around his character and who he was and what he did, and, like, it got so intense that we had to dig him up and poke at his bones a little bit to figure out if he was who he was.
The thing I don't like about it is how many exhumations involve tooth stuff.
Yeah, because
I don't
you got
like
a,
mouth stuff.
Yeah, you got a mouth thing. Is there a name for that? Mouth phobia?
Don't like teeth being pulled out phobia.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's one of the less popular ones.
Yeah, the name makes sense, at least.
Sometimes, though, it doesn't involve tooth stuff, because you can actually get actionable DNA. Like, there are a lot of people who, unfortunately, are being exonerated of crimes because they were falsely put to death, mostly because they were, like, black or poor in the South.
Right.
And people were just racist. Yeah, it sucks. But Scientists have gone back and exonerated a lot of those people with DNA evidence, which, you know, a little too late, but
right,
it's something.
Yeah.
But the DNA evidence was also the case with the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. So I didn't really realize that, like, other countries had unknown soldier tombs, like monuments to that. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. There's unknown soldiers all over the world, Max.
You mean not everyone knows who everyone is?
You're such a xenophobe. You're just always pro-America this.
America not knowing who anybody is.
Max legitimately didn't know that other countries had armies. He just thought America was amazing because we were the only ones with an army.
We just thought of it and ran the table. So, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is a monument that the U.S. military set up to honor soldiers who have died and then can't be identified. It's, you know, pretty straightforward.
Right.
A lot of the times, that's because there's been, like, a plane crash that they were in. You know, there's some Civil War guys where it was just brutal warfare, and you can't tell because of that.
Right.
But what I didn't realize was that there's usually, like, a body in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Do you know that?
So it's not just a memorial. They actually put the bodies there.
Yeah, it used to be that way.
Huh.
So it was usually, like, after every big war, they would inter some remains there, and it would be, like, the unknown soldiers of that war, you know?
Yeah.
But after the Vietnam War, which ended in 1975... there was a guy's body placed in the tomb, but then there was an effort to figure out whose body it was, mostly to provide closure to the families.
What was it, just this one person, or were they trying to do that with many people?
Usually there's, like, a couple people's remains that are in there.
Yeah.
But I think this guy was the only guy who was in the tomb.
Okay. So they kind of singled him out for that reason, like, we've got an opportunity now to just focus on trying to figure out who this one person is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it, you know, helps his story, which we're going to get into, helps with that as well. But yeah, so he was interred in 1975. And this is an article from the New York Times from May 8th, 1998. So 23 years later, titled "Remains of Vietnam Servicemen Ordered Exhumed from Tomb of Unknowns."
Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen ordered the reopening of the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia today so that the remains of a serviceman who died in Vietnam can be removed, tested, and very likely identified. Next Thursday, after painstaking preparations, the steel coffin bearing the unknown serviceman's remains will be lifted from the crypt, draped in an American flag, and taken under military escort to the forensic laboratory at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington. The remains will undergo a battery of tests, including sampling of mitochondrial DNA, a method of identification not available to the military's forensic scientists when the remains were classified Unknown 26 after the Vietnam War. The Pentagon believes the new technologies will likely show that the bone fragments belong to one of two pilots shot down over South Vietnam on May 11th, 1972.
Yeah, so this is where DNA testing comes in. This story is kind of bonkers. There was this pilot, and his name was Michael Blassie. And, you know, spoiler alert, he is the guy who is in the tomb.
Gotcha.
Like, he was the one whose remains were exhumed and then examined.
They confirmed it.
They confirmed it, but the way they confirmed it was, like, his plane was shot down and he was killed. And then, like, a patrol going through the area where his plane was shot down found his wallet and, like, dog tags and then gave them to their commanding officer. And their commanding officer shipped him to Washington with the body as a way to be like, hey, this is who this guy is, you know. And then they just, like, they just lost the identifying information.
Huh.
And then this reporter, like, 20 years after the end of the war in 95, was doing, like, some stories about stuff that happened around this time, guys who had been stationed over there. And this reporter got a tip that this commanding officer, who was living in Florida at the time, knew who the guy in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was. So the reporter goes down and talks to this guy, and the guy's like, yeah, I sent him the paperwork. Like, it's this dude. I know who's in there. But just didn't know how to get in contact with the guy's family.
Huh.
But the New York Times reporter did. So he got in contact with the family of Michael Blassie and is like, if he's in there, would you want to know? And they were like, I guess. So this reporter is petitioning the government and then finally like figures it out and requests the exhumation. And they exhumed the body and test it against the family's DNA. And it matched. And they were like, yeah, this is who it is. It's this Michael Blassie guy.
Hmm.
And since then, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier has been empty.
Wow. So it used to have bodies.
Yep.
And now it's just a memorial.
Yeah. A cenotaph, which is just the word for like a memorial to people who died elsewhere.
So, okay.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Interesting.
And, you know, it's kind of appropriate that, like, they identified who this guy was and were like, all right, you know. And I don't really know what it would take now for someone to be unidentifiable because of DNA.
Right.
But it feels kind of appropriate, you know.
Yeah.
It's neat.
Yeah, we put a cap on that period of history where that we can't figure out. Like, now we can figure it out.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's neat.
Yeah.
And I got one more thing for us to talk about tonight. And it's pretty cool. It's the most fun. Save the most fun for last.
Love it.
It is called Famadihana.
The Famadihana?
Famadihana.
That's a fun word.
Which is the Madagascar Turning of the Bones ceremony.
Okay.
Which is very cool. It's a ritual that takes place, like I said, in Madagascar, which looks beautiful from the photos I've seen.
Hmm.
And like it's in that movie or whatever.
What movie?
Movie Madagascar and Madagascar 2. And for some reason, those penguins are like minions.
They don't have penguins in Madagascar, do they?
No, but that's like a funny thing that... No, they do.
Do they?
I think No, there's not.
There aren't. That's fake news.
But there's penguins in Africa. Like, South Africa has penguins.
Well, yeah, that's South Africa. That's right on the tip. Madagascar isn't that far south.
Yeah. Between Namibia? Namibia and South Africa. There are penguins.
Shit.
It's cool.
Anyway.
But a lot of what we're going to talk about from here comes from our friends at Beyond the Dash. So give their blog a little click if you want. But basically, in Malagasy culture, when someone dies, they become a spirit. There's not really like a hard and fast afterlife that happens right after you die. The spirit wanders the earth until the body is fully decomposed, which, you know, in a very dry, arid climate can take a long time. You know, if you think about like Egyptian mummies, it can take a long time for a body to break down.
Yeah, they preserve pretty well.
Yeah. But the souls are not like ghouls, you know, they're not personalityless. They're just in limbo and they still want to like party sometimes, you know?
No doubt.
Yeah. So every 5 to 7 years, a family will exhume the body of a deceased relative and then like rewrap it in robes, write the name on it, like sing, dance with it.
Dance with it?
Yeah. Like kind of pick it up and like.
Weekend at Bernie's style?
They won't take it out of the wrapping, but they'll like kind of uncover it and like pay their respects and then basically celebrate. It's like a big party.
Wow.
And it's cool because it's kind of a combination of reunion for the people that were around when the person died, introduction because families will have kids and be like, this was your great grandpa.
Yeah.
You know? And just big party. Here's some photos of one of these Famadihana rituals.
Oh, it looks so fun. Look at these happy, smiling people.
Yeah. Doesn't it kind of remind you of like a New Orleans jazz funeral?
Yeah.
Where people are just like filling the road and everyone's wearing like bright colors. It's cool, you know? And those like fabric wrapped things are bodies.
Yeah. It's celebratory.
Yeah. it gives like these young folks the opportunity to connect with their roots and celebrate with their deceased ancestors, which is neat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's kind of beautiful. What they do on the wrapping is they'll write the person's name to keep that name alive and still being circulated so they're not forgotten.
Yeah.
You know?
That's sweet.
Yeah. But unfortunately, this ritual is kind of fading. So the Malagasy people have always really valued this. It's been a pretty big thing for centuries. But when the Catholic Church got to Madagascar, they were trying to stamp it out because they thought it was like witchcraft.
Mm.
Like they were trying to reanimate people.
I mean, is there any part of this that, like, it sounds like, you know, it's rooted in their belief system, but it's not, like, trying to summon
no.
the dead or anything?
No, it's
we're not talking about necromancy here.
No, it's very similar to, like, the Day of the Dead in Mexico, where you're celebrating with the spirits of your ancestors, but the body, you're mostly just pulling the body out to see if it's decomposed.
Right.
And if it's decomposed, you know your ancestors at rest. And if it's not, then you're like, all right, let's have a good time, you know?
Yeah. And then the Catholic Church has to come in like they always do and take all the fun away.
Well, they thought it was witchcraft. And then some people from Madagascar tried to explain it to them. And then the Catholic Church was like...
They listened very carefully and were very considerate of cultures not their own?
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
They really haven't.
Well, imagine that.
Now, at this point, the Catholic Church doesn't recognize this as... They don't actively campaign against it.
Okay.
They're not against it. But the missionaries who were in Madagascar over the course of decades didn't get the memo and just really tried to stamp it out. So it's not super observed now, but, I mean, if you have a family whose roots run really deep, you're very culturally, like, Malagasy person...
Mm-hmm.
Your family would do this and you would celebrate it loudly, you know? Like, people are coming out for this.
Yeah. This is a good turnout for the function.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I think that a lot of my experience with family members dying is, unfortunately, like, there is a fair amount of people's stories kind of get lost.
Yeah.
And I don't know, part of it might be just a generational thing where old people kind of freak us out and we don't want to talk about them or think about them too much.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like people who lived entire lives and had a variety of things happen and did amazing things, that it sucks to lose those stories. And
exactly.
It sucks that the only way to remember those stories is a real somber Western style funeral. It's kind of cool to think about something like this where it is celebratory and it happens beyond the funeral.
Yeah.
Like, It's a continuing ritual that every few years you're like, hey, remember great-grandpa Max? I'm using you as an example because I'm going to do that. Whether you want it to happen or not.
You're going to exhume me?
If I live 5 years past your death, then I'm going to dig you up and be like, guys, it's Max.
You like
dance with your body.
Flailing my body around. It is cool. It's like this is how you keep stories alive. It's really neat, you know?
Yeah.
Another... Like, it's kind of like an end cap on a cool thing that came out of this ceremony, though. For a long time, people thought dead bodies were bad. They had disease. They were toxic. This ritual right here proves that they're really not.
Yeah, you can handle them and you won't get sick or anything.
Yeah. Like, this was something that scientists, like Western scientists, observed and were like, oh, maybe we need to rethink what we think of like dead people. And this kind of brought about the end of like miasma theory, where people thought that like you just got sick if you were around bad things, you know?
Right.
Because they were like, oh, these people hang around with corpses and like everyone's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
they're actually having more fun than me.
Yeah. Cause I live in like Victorian smog England.
And meanwhile, this guy in the green and yellow Adidas tracksuit and the pink Arby's hat, he's yeah, smiling at me.
That guy's having a great time.
Yeah, he's beaming ear to ear.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a cool little cultural and death positive thing they got going on down there.
Yes, they do. Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing this stuff, Max. Thanks
yeah,
for
no problem.
Putting together your research. Thanks to Beyond the Dash for putting that stuff together. They have a really cool blog. If you guys haven't checked it out, lots of collecting stories of how people deal with death and celebrate
yeah.
and cool memorials. Look up Beyond the Dash. They're dope.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd love to hear from you guys. Why don't you talk to us? What do you want to do with your body when you die? You hope it's nothing, because you're dead. You can't do anything. But yeah, what do you think about all this stuff with digging up dead bodies? Is it weird? Is it disrespectful? Can we play with your body weekend at Bernie style and dance with you after you die?
We'll keep your stories alive.
We will keep your stories alive. Your name will continue.
But my parents have a lot of fabric, and we would like to wrap you in that and have fun.
Do you have any fun fabrics, like fun colors and patterns?
I don't have a room in my parents' house anymore.
It's just the fabric room.
Yeah. Well, because they had a quilt shop, and then the quilt shop closed down, and so they just moved all the inventory into my bedroom.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I mean, my brother and sister still have a room.
And you're not bitter about it.
Not bitter about it, no. It's fine.
Well, why don't you talk to us about this episode? Find us on Twitter and Instagram, at PreDeadBoys. Email us, predeadboys@gmail.com, and find us on our Facebook group. Search PreDeadBoys Podcast, and you too can connect with other people about what seltzer waters you should drink and interesting death facts and stuff. Also, we have a Discord server. If you're on Discord and you want to chat it up with other fans of the podcast and death positive folks.
Hey, we just talked about video games for 30 minutes on mic even.
Oh yeah. Before recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm editing all of that out.
And Discord's for gamers.
It is, but it's also for just talking. And we've been having some conversations about fun movies we're watching and all that stuff. Shoot us a message on one of those social media outlets or through email or whatever if you want an invite, and I can send you an invite to the Discord. If you want to support this podcast that we work so hard to put together for you, it would be really sweet if you would go to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/predeadboys and consider giving some money, getting some rewards. We got some fun holiday wallpapers coming up very, very soon.
Ooh.
And if you donate at the $5 or more tier, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast. For example, thank you to Amber Tribe, who recently pledged to give $5 a month.
Aw.
You're the best.
Thanks, Amber.
You're the best, along with the other people who gave $5 a month, which is a surprising number of you. It's very cool.
That rules. I love that.
And we are almost halfway to our goal now of, once we get a total of $100 donated every month between all of y'all, we will start making bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon supporters, where we talk about the movies and music and books and games that Max and I are getting into, with a little bit of a death positive perspective on all that stuff. So make sure you check out patreon.com/predeadboys and consider throwing in some cash. Also, tell your friends about this podcast. We don't advertise. It's just word of mouth, and it's working. We're getting popular and winning awards. It's
very cool.
It's only because you're telling other people to listen to this podcast and sharing the word with them. And we really appreciate when you do that.
Shout out to my friend Alex, who word of mouthed this podcast to me recently. He came up and he was like, "Hey, I've been listening to this cool new podcast."
Was he like recommending it to you?
He was being a goof, but
oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he legitimately found out about it. Very cool. Dude, do you know about this podcast?
That would be so surreal.
One of the hosts is actually, he's got the same name as you. It's weird. That's my new goal, to get so famous that people recommend our podcast to me in person. And they don't recognize it. It's me. I'm the rock star podcaster.
Well, you do have to pitch your voice like 2 octaves down, because your voice is very high in real life.
Yeah, it is. It's very true. This is digitally manipulated. Dude, you can't say that. I legit have a little bit of a complex about my voice.
Oh, it's just because you edit it.
And
your voice is great.
Thanks.
I like your voice.
Appreciate it, friend. Also, if you give us...
My voice is all fucked up because I've got 2 teeth out of my skull. And sometimes I say words bad because of it.
That was a little bit of an outburst. I enjoyed that. If you give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, that also helps us out a lot. Helps us go up in the charts and get noticed on those platforms. And if you do that, give us a 5-star rating. We'll read your review right here on the podcast. For example,
whoa,
we got a pod
We got a pod. We do have a podcast.
Shit. We have a review from Mr. Shrimpwall on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm very allergic to shrimp.
Well, this is a shrimp wall.
Oh, God.
So you're fucked. Mr. Shrimpwall says, best podcast ever, highly entertaining. 5 stars. Da boys do a great job and keep it classy whilst talking about the nasty. Thank you for introducing me to Tenement as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you, Mr. Shrimpwall, for your kind words. And we're happy to recommend all kinds of bands and games and movies and shit that you didn't ask us for. We're happy to recommend all kinds of things.
Talk about them.
It does warm my heart, though. I legitimately love Tenement. I've been listening to them a lot lately since reading this review. That band rocks so hard.
That's tight. They're good.
Yeah.
It's good slack rock.
Yeah. And Amos Pish, the frontman for Tenement, I saw he just did a movie soundtrack. So now he's getting into soundtrack work, which is dope.
Yeah.
Go listen to Tenement. They fucking rock. You know who else you should listen to? Brat Curse. They did the intro and outro to our podcast. The song is called About Time. And you can look up Brat Curse on Bandcamp. Bratcurse.bandcamp.com, or look them up on Spotify or wherever you listen to streaming music. Give them some listens. Consider buying some merch from them or going to see them when they come into your town.
Yeah, Acid Capsule Tina, song of the year, rocks really hard.
Still a fan of Sweatpants Lawyer, the first song on their album. My current favorite song on the album is Modern Snakes. It's very good. It's a bop. Listen to the whole thing. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. I've run through all the announcements and all the thank yous, and we're done. We finally made it.
How are your probiotics doing?
How are my probiotics doing?
Yeah, how's your gut health?
I think my gut health could use some improvement. I actually bought a kombucha to accelerate the process. How are your guts doing? I think that it's going to be difficult for me to edit all of the stomach churning out of this episode.
It is a little bubbly.
I just realized I didn't actually eat dinner. I just kind of ate some snacks.
I offered to get you a burrito.
You declined. Deeply, deeply regret not accepting that offer.
Foolish. I could go to increase my probiotics right now, maybe with some cream cheese or cottage cheese. What is it? What was that?
Oh, black cream cheese was.
Oh, I thought it was like cottage cheese. Okay, that's different. Never mind.
Cream cheese doesn't have probiotics. You tried to gross me out with your end of episode goof. And it backfired on you.
It did.
You got what you deserve.
Gotta get a schmear now.
Yep. So we're gonna cut you loose. Max has to go to timeout and think about the bad decisions he's made with his life. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're gonna rot. Chili.
Chilbo Baggins.
More like Dildo Baggins.
Come on. Ira ass.